Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you take this offering of this message? Would you do much more with it than I can? Lord, would you encourage our hearts? Would you strengthen us? Would you give us joy so that we can sing truly, rejoice, rejoice. God with us, you shall come to us, your church, your people. Lord, I thank you for the word. I thank you for your scriptures. May I expound them and teach them in a way that represents your power and your truth. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Probably many of you know this, but probably not all of you. The word Advent means coming. Or appearing. The word Advent means coming. And so during this season, what we are celebrating is the coming of Jesus Christ to earth as a man. He came first as a baby, but he didn't stay a baby. He came, he put on flesh and blood, and he came to save us. Jesus came from heaven as God's perfect provision for us. That's why he came. God sent him so that he would be the perfect provision. Now, a provision is when you see in advance something that's needed, and then you make sure that it's taken care of or that it's supplied. Some examples just in everyday life. If you were to go camping, you have to make provision. You have to plan in advance so that you, if you're going to be out in the woods, you've got all the food that you need, you've got the shelter, the different things that you need. So, for example, if you go camping, you need provision. Some of you, hopefully most of you, unless you're already retired, are saving for your retirement. You're making provision for a time that will come in your life in which you may not be able to work for yourself anymore and earn a living. So you're setting aside right now as a provision for that time when that comes. Sometimes we'll talk about in a will that say, oh, I'll make provision for you in my will. Meaning I'll set aside something that will help take care of your need when I pass away. This is what provision means. And God has said that his word, that he has made the perfect provision for us in sending Jesus Christ for us. Now, if I'm going to call it a perfect provision, I think it has to meet some criteria to be the perfect provision. First of all, it's got to be timely. Secondly, it needs to be complete, meaning it's everything that we need. And if it's coming from God, thirdly, I think it needs to be given in love. That's what we're going to explore here this Advent season is God's perfect provision, his timely provision, his complete provision, and his loving provision. And today we're going to focus just for a few minutes on that first one, on God's timely provision. You know, if you call for reinforcements, if you're in a battle and you call for reinforcements and they show up after the battle is done, it's kind of useless, right? It's too little, too late. My parents occasionally would say, you know, that's like closing the barn door after all the cows have gotten out. You've heard that one before? That's not what you need. That's what a provision that comes too late or at the wrong time, that's what it's like. It's not helpful unless it's there when you need it. That's part of what makes a provision perfect, is that it's timed perfectly. Now, the scriptures tell us in Galatians chapter 4 that the provision of Jesus Christ came at the perfect time. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. He sent forth his Son, Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, meaning he came in as a Jew who was underneath the law of God and the law of Moses that God had given through Moses. And he came in, he sent forth his Son to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. In the fullness of time. This is what God did. God had a plan. God didn't just react to circumstances and say, I better do something. Maybe I can do this. And it's like an ad hoc sort of way of trying to figure out what he can do to help humanity. God had a plan. And at the perfect time, At just the time, he uses the phrase, Paul here in Galatians, the fullness of time. At the right time, what did he do for that plan? He sent forth his son. He sent Jesus into the world. That's what we're celebrating this Advent season is Christmas, is that there was this perfect fullness of time in God's plan, and he sent Jesus. Just a couple pages over in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says something very similar to what he said in Galatians about this, using similar terminology. In chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, it says that God made known to us the mystery of his will. There was something that God had planned that he hadn't shown us all of his cards. He held back, but now he has revealed the mystery of his will according to his purpose. It's God's intention. It's his plan. And what is that plan? It's that he has sent forth, his plan has come to fruition, which he has set forth in Christ as a plan for what? For the fullness of time, to unite all things in Jesus Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. So it's this idea that God had a plan and a purpose, and when the moment was right, that's when he sent Jesus. And he sent Jesus for us. He sent Jesus at just this right time for our sake. Peter, one of the apostles, writes that Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Jesus has always existed. Jesus has been around forever. But then he says, but he was made manifest. That's his way of saying he came among us. He was born as a baby and then he became a man, and we walked with him and we talked with him and we listened to him. God manifested himself in Jesus Christ right in front of us in these last times for your sake. For our sake. God timed it just right in his perfect plan so that at the right moment Jesus would come, and he would come for our sake. He would come in order to be able to redeem us. Romans chapter 5, just a couple of books earlier. Romans chapter 5, Paul again writing, talking about this perfect timing of God. It says in verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And then Paul says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love how? God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, broken, hot mess, he sent his son, Christ, to die for us. So there's a sense in which God's timing is perfect on a cosmic scale. He has a plan. He laid the foundations for that plan before the world was ever made. He knew he was going to send Jesus at just the right moment in this sort of cosmic sense, in historical sense. I'm sending Jesus because I know when the time is ripe, and I'm sending Jesus then. But he also sends Jesus to us as a Savior for our sake at the right time, because he doesn't wait until we get our act together. He doesn't wait until we clean ourselves up and then finally make good, and then he says, okay, now I will send you my loving son. No, while we are still sinners. That's the time. That's the timely provision we need. Not after somehow we've gotten ourselves together. We can't do that in the moment and hour and day of our need when we are sinners who are broken and who are guilty before God. Then he sends his son to us. It's a perfect provision because it is a timely provision. It is one that meets us right where we are when we need it. Now, God had been at work all of that time. Don't think that when Jesus came, finally God kind of like woke up, I guess I should do something now for humanity. No, of course not. He had always been working. That's what we heard in that scripture we had read to us in Hebrews. That in the former days, before Jesus came, there were a lot of different ways that God was at work and that he was speaking through the prophets, through Israel, through people like Abraham and Moses and David and Elijah and Isaiah. God was speaking. He wasn't silent, but what he was doing was laying a foundation so that in the last days, when he would send his son, though he had spoken before, now he is speaking definitively, completely, with a power and a glory and a finality that had never before been experienced. God was now speaking through his son, Jesus. This is how God has shown himself to us. And so that baby that was born and laid in a little manger was the Word of God with us. That's how John, the disciple, the apostle, explains it. He says that the Word became flesh. God's very Word, the thing that He wants to communicate to us about Himself, who He is, has become flesh and blood for our sakes. That we, though we are dead, might find life. Not because He just because He became a man, and as cute as that little baby probably was, because just about every baby's cute, let's be honest. Not all, like, there's a few ugly babies, but most of them, most of them are cute. But you know what? It wasn't about a cute baby. The cute baby became a man. And there was nothing cute and nothing beautiful about what He went through when He was beaten and bruised and bloodied and then hung on a cross. But that's the perfect provision, because He gave His life as a sacrifice for our sin, for our salvation. And He did it at just the right time, cosmically, historically, but also at just the right time by not waiting for us to come to Him. He came to us, provided for us. So God acts. His provision is perfect in the big things. But you know what's also perfect? His timing. His provision is perfectly timed even in the small details of our lives. The problem is it just doesn't always fit with our timetable. So sometimes we think, God, you really got to check your calendar because I needed that like 2 weeks ago. I really need it, or I'm going to need it then. I'm not ready for it now. But God's timing is actually perfect, even in the details of our lives. This is the kind of care that He exercises over us. And you can see that in several places in the Christmas story. In the early chapters of Luke, as Luke's telling us about Jesus' birth, and he actually starts with his cousin or his relative, John the Baptist. When you look at John the Baptist, his parents were Zechariah and Elizabeth. They had to wonder about God's timing. Zechariah and Elizabeth were faithful, God-fearing people. It says they were righteous and they followed the law perfectly. And yet Elizabeth was without child. And she carried around a stigma that it probably in some ways still exists today, but was very tangible and real in that day. That if you didn't have a child, there must be something wrong with you, or God somehow has got a problem with you. And so she carried this public shame. Not in God's eyes, but in the public's eyes, and perhaps even sometimes turning it upon herself. And she probably wondered many times, God, I'm trying to be righteous before you. What's wrong? How come I have no child? And then she gets to the point where she's past childbearing age, and she's likely given it up, although they're still praying. They're still praying. And when the angel Gabriel shows up to Zechariah, he says, your prayer has been answered. It wasn't in their time. They would have had it 20, 30, 40 years earlier. But finally, in God's time, He gives them a child. And the timing is perfect. I think perhaps one of the reasons the timing is perfect is that God waited long enough that if it was going to happen, it had to be God. You know what I mean? God waited until there was no other hope. There was no way in an earthly sense in which she could get pregnant. And then God shows up and gives them a special baby, John the Baptist, who has a job assignment to go before Jesus. So there's a waiting because now is the right time to send John the Baptist. And only God could have done it this way. And He sends John. And John is the forerunner, the one proclaiming that the Christ is coming. So it seemed too late at first to Zechariah and Elizabeth. On the opposite end of the scale, it seemed way too early for Mary's pregnancy. She doesn't have a husband. She's never been with a man. She's still a young girl. This can't be right, God. Your timing must be off. Can we reschedule this? God says, no, my timing is perfect, even in the details. Because had she been married, had she been with her husband, then even if it had been the Holy Spirit, people could have said, yeah, right. It was just Joseph. Joseph's the real dad. But no, God in His timing took a woman, a young lady, who had never been with a man and used her as a vessel, used her to bring into the world the Savior, the perfect provision. So it seemed too late for Zechariah and Elizabeth. It seemed way too early for Mary. And then Jesus' death, just the timing. I mean, Jesus' birth seemed the timing was all off. Right? I mean, who wants to have to travel and have your baby somewhere far away from home? They must have wondered when this census came. It's like, God, why did you get me pregnant right now? Now that we're going to have to leave home in Nazareth and we're going to have to travel to Bethlehem? You know, I've never been to Bethlehem. I've seen it maybe when I've been to Jerusalem to visit, but I've never been there. Now that's where I have to live? Now? Really? I mean, can't you just wait? God's timing must have seemed off there. And then they get there, and there's no place. It's like, God, what if we had just come, maybe a year later? Then everything would be okay. But no, in God's timing. Why would God do that? Well, God had promised long ago to David, and he had promised through the prophets, that one of David's descendants would be born where? In Bethlehem. And so some Caesar, way off in Rome, makes a decree at some time, completely arbitrary seemingly, and in God's timing, it brings Joseph and Mary down to Bethlehem so his word will come true. And when they arrive and there's no place for them to stay, and it must have seemed like, man, we timed this all wrong. We should have checked, on our phones before that there were vacancies. There's no vacancy. And yet this reminds us, the humble circumstances of his birth, of the humility of God to come, take on flesh, become a child, and become a man. God's timing is perfect, even in the little details of our lives. His provision is perfectly timed in the historic sense that God picked the right moment to send Jesus. It's the right perfect provision because it's the right time when we need him because we're dead and he comes anyway and makes us alive. And God's timing is perfect even down to the details of our lives. But to follow God's timing, to trust God's timing, takes humility. It takes humility. It takes setting aside what we think is best and trusting what God says is best. And so Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." If we're going to trust God's timing, we have to set aside our agenda. We have to recognize that we're not the sovereign one. He's the sovereign one who has his hand over all of history and knows all of the details. The one that said that not even a sparrow will fall to the ground apart from my Father. He's the one we have to trust. Probably some of you are similar. I have a calendar on my phone and on my computer, a Google calendar, and it's color-coded, and it's got all these different codes, so I know whether this is a church appointment or a personal one. And I'm kind of type A, so I stick to that calendar pretty well, and I like it to be detailed. But you know what? That calendar is not God's calendar. That calendar is not more important than the plans that God has for me. And if there's an appointment that I didn't count on, but it comes from God, I need to be ready for it. Or if there's one that I thought was going to happen and then it doesn't happen, I need to be okay with that because it's in God's hands. His calendar is the one that matters, and his timing is the one that is perfect. So if I'm going to accept that, I have to be humble. You have to be humble. We have to take ourselves out of the driver's seat and let God be in charge. But guess what the promise is? That when you do that, it's like a weight comes off your shoulders. It's like casting all of this stuff that weighs us down and these fears and this calendar and this timing and everything and taking it off of our shoulders, casting it on him because he cares for us. The one that I'm telling you have to trust is one who cares more about you than you even care about yourself. You can trust God's timing because he cares for you. He loves you. And if you ever begin to doubt that, you just look at the perfect timing of sending his son as the perfect provision for your eternal life and your salvation. And then you can trust him with the details. So this Advent season, I hope we'll recognize that when we celebrate the coming of Jesus, we're celebrating the perfect provision that God has given us. We'll see next week. We'll look at that a little bit more of how what God has sent in Jesus is complete. It takes care of everything that we need. But I hope you'll also remember that it's perfect in its timing. It's perfect in its timing and when it comes to you as well. And Paul later says in 1 Corinthians, he says, quoting the Old Testament, today is the day of salvation. That timing might be for you today to discover God's perfect gift, to humble yourself, to repent and say, I want the salvation and the perfect provision that God is offering at Christmas and all year round through Jesus Christ. And if so, I say, don't wait. You didn't have it calendared or scheduled for today. That doesn't matter. God did. And you respond and you give your life to Him. And you will find that He will be the perfect provision in every area of your life, and especially in your eternal life. We're going to partake here in just a moment of the Lord's Supper. It's fitting that as we celebrate His birth, we do it in light of a cross. We do it in light of the fact that His birth was for the reason of coming to give His life. And it's a reminder of a provision that God has made of a broken body and poured out blood for us. As we partake in this, remember, this is a Christmas meal. This is a celebration of God's perfectly timed provision for us. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank You for sending Jesus at just the right moment. In the history of the world, You picked, You knew Your plan had come to the fullness of time, and so You sent Jesus. But also in my own personal life, at the right time, You brought Jesus to bear in my own life. And Lord, at each step along the way, when I have trusted You and Your timing, the provision has been perfect. And I would pray, Lord, that You would help each one in this room to trust Your timing, to take in Your perfect provision, and to be able to cast off those anxieties and just give them to You, knowing You care for us. And as we partake in the Lord's Supper here now, Lord, as we partake in this communion meal, will You remind us that Your coming is all we need? It's perfect. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.